This morning, after having taken a break for Easter, we are returning to our subject of the full armour of God. And as you can see from the screen, today we are looking at footwear. Maybe to help us remind ourselves what Paul's saying in this passage, let's read again Ephesians chapter 6, just verses 10 to 15. This comes at the end of his letter to the Ephesians. It's a kind of a summing up of everything he's already said. And so he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. People can easily talk about peace, and some people even talk about the shoes of peace. But here in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul speaks much more specifically. He is not talking about just any old peace. He tells us, have your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Yes, peace is important in this passage, but not just any kind of peace. There are five key words here in verse 15. We've got feet, fitted, ready, gospel, and peace. I wonder, have you thought about your feet recently? And this is where that piece of paper and the pen comes in. Please, can you write on that piece of paper the answer to this question, how many bones in a human foot? How many bones in a human foot? I don't want you to spend time counting them all up. Just write down for me how many bones in a human foot. And we're going to take the slide down so that we can actually see your answers. Hopefully that'll be easier. I'm just going to read out a few of the answers I get. How many bones in a human foot? I've gotten closer to the screen. Can I see an answer? Gareth and Anna saying 25. 32 from Fran. Over 100 from David and Sandy. I can't see what your one says, Anna. 49, but I can't see the face of the person behind it. 49, that's from Fiona and Natasha. 22, I think, 28 from Rob and Jill. 30 from Karen. 36 from someone with a knee. Who's behind there? Let me have a look. Move it down a bit, please. 36, that's Jared. That was your knee, yeah. 30 from Dennis and Lorraine.
36 and from Robert.
And Robert,
36
from Robert.
No, 26.
Sorry, is that 26 from Robert? That's Robin, Bob and Faith. And 52 from Edward and 36 from Anna. Guys, thank you ever so much for your answers. Let's get the slide back. In fact, that'll be now slide number two. No, that'll be slide number one again. Slide number one, please, if you can. So, you've all had to think a bit this morning. In fact, each of the human feet is made of just 26 bones, 30 joints, and more than 100 muscles, tendons, and ligaments, all of which work together to provide support, balance and mobility. So you're saying that Robert got it perfect, yeah? So Bob and Faith and Robert, sounds like you got it perfect, number 26. Well done. Look, guys, the human foot is an amazing device. It is a wonderful invention, and of course it has been invented by God. And what is more, the human foot really needs looking after. Look after your feet and they will look after you. You never know when you might have to run. You never know when you might need your feet. When I was 19 years old, my first full-time job was as a trainee manager with Millwood Shoes Limited. And part of the job was foot fitting. That's not simply selling shoes, but fitting shoes to feet. What size are your feet? What are the true dimensions of your feet? Because you know that there is so much more than just length. You need to consider the width of your feet, the depth, the incline and the arch, and of course any deformities you may have. And of course most people's 2 feet are not identical mirror images of each other. Fitting children's feet probably was the easiest back in the day. Teenagers was more difficult, particularly if they wanted some fashion style that wasn't really suited to their foot. And fitting older people, particularly people with bunions and deformities, that really was a challenge. Better an old shoe that has shaped around the foot than a new shoe that pinches like pliers. But better than both is a shoe that fits like a glove right from the start. Now, whilst that may sound a bit like a biblical proverb, in fact, I made it up especially for this message. The Apostle Paul is telling us this morning, have your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And to really understand this, I think we need to start with the 4th of our key words on the list here. And we'll move on to the 2nd slide, please. Our key word of the key words is that word there in bold, gospel. If you walk into a Clark's shoe shop, even today, you will find children's shoes in sizes and half sizes and in a variety of widths and styles too. But what about the gospel? Does the gospel come in various sizes and in different styles? Or is it, as they say, one size fits all? Well, first of all, let's ask a different question. What exactly is the gospel? It may surprise you to learn that there are 89 verses in the New Testament that contain the word gospel, compared to only 3 verses that contain the word Christian. So you can see that gospel is a very important biblical word, and gospel means good news. And Paul uses the word gospel 5 times in this letter to the Ephesians. Let's have a look at what Paul tells us about the gospel in this letter to the Ephesians. We've got a slide for this. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, Paul says about us, you were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, that is, the gospel of your salvation. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 6, we are told that this mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles, that is, people who are not Jews, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. They are members together of one body and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. Then in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7, the Apostle Paul tells us, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given through the working of his power. And please just keep in mind that word power as we move forward. Then in Ephesians chapter 6, in the armour of God passage that we're studying at the moment, we are told that we need to stand firm with our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And finally, Paul requests that people pray for him to be effective, saying in chapter 6, verse 19, pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Now, if we summarize these verses, we can say that the gospel is truth. Through the gospel, we are included in Christ. The gospel is a mystery. That is something amazing and something wonderful. Non-Jews are heirs together with Israel through the gospel. The gospel is good news that we have been saved. Through the gospel, we have become one body, irrespective of our race or nationality, a factor that's reflected in our church here at Great Hollands. This is all by grace, and it is only available through God's power, that word that I asked you to hang on to. And the gospel leads to readiness, and the gospel leads to peace. Now, as you know, Paul wrote many other letters, not only this letter to the Ephesians, but other letters too, to the churches in Rome, Corinth, and Galatia, to name but a few. And if we look at what Paul says in those letters too, we get a fuller picture of what the gospel really is. Now, have you remembered the word I asked you to remember? That word, power. This is what Paul wrote to the church in Rome. We've got a slide for this, please. This comes from Romans 1, verse 16. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Why is Paul not ashamed of the gospel? Because there is power in the gospel. Whose power? God's power. For what purpose? To bring salvation. Salvation for who? To everyone who believes. So let me ask you, my friends, have you believed? Have you believed in Jesus? Have you believed in the gospel? It is the only way to be saved. Moving on, let's look at what Paul wrote to the church in Corinth about the gospel. This comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul says, now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. We are saved by the gospel if we hold onto the teaching of Scripture. Paul continues in verse 3, I passed on to you as of first importance that Christ died for our sins. This, my friends, is gospel, right? Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and he was raised on the third day, also according to the Scriptures. Christ died to pay for our sins. This is gospel. And he rose from the dead, proving that he has power and authority to forgive sins. This is good news. This is gospel. So now let's get back to my question. Does the gospel come in various sizes and various styles? Well, there is only one gospel. And yet the wonderful mystery is that this gospel will fit all of us and any of us if we apply it not only to our feet, but also to our hearts. The gospel is good news. The gospel is forgiveness of sins. The gospel is restoring relationship with God. The gospel is being welcomed into the family of God. The gospel is becoming a brand new person, what we refer to as being born again. And the Apostle Paul is telling us today, have your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Look at that word now, readiness, please. Ready to stand, ready to move, ready to defend, ready to fight. Our feet need to be fitted with readiness. And that readiness comes only from the gospel. We are ready when we have accepted the gospel. We are ready when we know that our sins are forgiven, that we have new relationship with God. We are ready when we remember that we have been welcomed into the family of God. We have become a brand new person. We have been born again. Now you see that your feet are the ready to stand part of your body. They are the ready to go part of your body. Your feet are the ready to act part of your body. And of course, the ready to defend part of your body. So if we are feeling unstable, that we cannot stand, that we are not ready to go and to act and to defend, then maybe we need to fit our feet with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And we will only experience real, lasting peace when we have fitted our feet with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Now, I know that some of you guys, and one family particularly, they love trainers, right? And have any of you ever bought the brand Hi-Tech trainers? Their trainer boots were very popular back in the 1980s, and even I had a pair. They were called Hi-Tech Nationals, whatever that meant, Hi-Tech Nationals. But listen to this, the Romans had the first Hi-Tech trainer boots ever in history. Roman soldiers' feet were well prepared with what you might call a hybrid, high-tech cross between a sandal, a boot, and a football boot. These were made of leather, they went up the lower leg, and they had nails in the sole that added stability like studs on a football boot. And it is this kind of ready for anything footwear that Paul has in mind as he encourages us to fit our feet with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. There is only one true gospel, and it will fit if we apply it to our hearts and to our feet. But unlike my foot-fitting days in the shoe shop, we will certainly need to allow the gospel to transform us, to mould us, modify us, and make us new. Think about it, my friends, how absurd it would have been for the 19-year-old foot fitter to say to the elderly lady, "Well, madam, these shoes don't really fit. I think we need to get you some new feet." And yet God is in the business of transforming us. The gospel must be making us new. The gospel is about being born again, about becoming a brand new person. And that includes brand new feet too. If ever we feel that the gospel does not quite fit, we must be very careful. We must not try to change the gospel to suit us. And yet that is exactly what people have been doing down the ages since the time of Christ and since the time of the Apostle Paul. Look, please, with me at what Paul wrote to the church in Galatia. Can you believe it? In Galatians chapter 1 verse 6 he says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preached to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Paul says very clearly, I am astonished that you are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. There is no blessing when people do this. On the contrary, Paul states that people will be cursed if they turn to a different gospel. Are your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace? It is the only way to find perfect peace. Peace with God in a new relationship with Him, and the peace of God in our inner being as we relate to people and situations around us. Are your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace? And more on this in just a moment. Welcome back to part two, and you'll be pleased to know this is a very much shorter part than part one. When we started looking at the full armour of God some weeks ago, I suggested that we look at one piece of armour each week, and that we look at one incident of the devil's scheming in the Bible each week too. And this week we are being encouraged by the Apostle Paul to have our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Are we ready to move at God's command? Way back in the book of Genesis, amongst some very bad news that God was going to destroy a city because of the sin of its inhabitants, amongst that very bad news was some very good news that God was going to spare Lot and his family. Now, two angels appeared to Lot, and we can pick up the narrative in Genesis chapter 19, starting at verse 15. These angels appeared to Lot, and we read, "With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, 'Hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished.' When Lot hesitated, the men grasped his hands and the hands of his wife and his two daughters and led them to safety out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, 'Flee for your lives, don't look back, and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away.'" And I'm just going to jump to verse 26, and we read, "But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt." In verse 17, they were clearly told, "Don't look back." But in verse 26, tragically, Lot's wife did exactly that. She became a pillar of salt because she looked back. God is calling us to be ready. God is calling us to trust in him and to embrace the gospel. He is calling us to have our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, so that we are ready for whatever he is calling us to do. Ready to move forward and take new ground at his command. And one of the devil's schemes is to tempt us to look back. God wants to take us into new places with him. We have got to be ready. No looking back, my friends. The gospel and good news have always been associated with good, healthy, and even beautiful feet. We saw this in those wonderful readings that Claire and Karen read to us earlier. In Psalm 121, the psalmist states, "I lift my eyes to the mountains," and goes on to ask, "Where does my help come from?" He then answers his own question by saying, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth," before adding those amazing words about feet. "He will not let your foot slip." Then in Romans chapter 10, we read a quotation, in fact, from Isaiah that combines perfectly gospel, good news, with blessed and beautiful feet. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And finally, in Deuteronomy 8, the people of Israel were told that whilst God had been protecting them in their wilderness wanderings, their clothes did not wear out and their feet did not swell during those 40 years. The blessings of God, the gospel, the good news, and feet are all connected in the Bible. Let us stand firm then with our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus and let's not look back. Amen.